You know, there's this fantasy that the tech industry has been selling us for, I don't know, the last 10 or 15
Oh,
years.
yeah, the digital nomad
Yeah,
fantasy.
exactly. You know, the guy on a perfect beach in Bali, or maybe he's in some like aggressively trendy coffee shop.
Right, with a single cappuccino, he's been nursing for 3 hours.
Yeah. And he opens this impossibly thin laptop, and we're supposed to believe he's just as productive as someone in a corner office with three monitors.
When the reality is, it's a lot of squinting.
So much squinting. It's squinting, it's hunched shoulders, it's furiously alt-tabbing between a spreadsheet and an email because you can't fit both on the screen.
Right. We call it the mobile office, but really, mobile is just a polite word for compromised.
Exactly. You trade power and screen space for, being able to put it in a backpack. That's always been the deal.
Oh,
But
wait.
what if that trade-off was just gone? What if you didn't have to make that compromise anymore?
Now that's the interesting question.
Today, we're diving into a device that claims to do just that. We're looking at the Asus ZenBook Duo 2026, the model UX8407,
It's a very serious piece of kit.
and the source we're tearing into. This really massive, detailed, hands-on review by Majid from February 3rd. He uses a phrase that I just love. It really stuck with me. He doesn't call it a laptop.
No, he calls it a portable control tower.
A control tower. I mean, that's a heavy phrase, isn't it? A control tower isn't just for doing work, it's a command center.
It implies you're orchestrating things, you have total visibility, not just, participating.
It's a bold claim, but honestly, when you look at the specs we're about to get into, Control Tower starts to feel less like marketing and more like just a description.
An accurate one, yeah.
So here's our mission for this deep dive. Is this just another dual screen gimmick? Because let's be honest, we've seen those fail before.
Oh, many
Or does
times.
this thing actually signal the end of the traditional desktop computer for professionals?
That is the big question. Is the desktop finally obsolete?
Let's find out. And I think we have to start with the most obvious thing. The part that hits you in the face when you open it. The screens. Plural.
Right. Because historically, dual screen laptops have been, well, awkward is a kind word.
I'd go with clunky.
Clunky works. You'd have your main screen, then this, like tiny dim screen crammed above the keyboard.
Or two screens with a hinge the size of a bank vault door between them.
Exactly. It always felt like two separate things that someone had just sort of duct taped together.
You never felt like it was one workspace. It was screen A and screen B.
And that is where this Asus model makes its first huge leap. The review highlights what he calls the gap problem, or I should say, the solution to it.
Okay.
Asus has engineered the hinge to reduce the gap between the two screens by 70%.
70. That's not a tweak. That's a complete overhaul.
It's massive. And we need to talk about the psychology of that. When that black border around a screen is thick, your brain sees it as a stop sign. It separates the content.
Okay, that makes sense.
But when you shrink it by 70%, that gap gets so thin that your brain just ignores it.
Yeah.
You stop seeing two separate screens and start seeing one continuous vertical canvas.
And it becomes immersive.
Totally.
And we're not talking about just any old canvas here. These are two 3K OLED displays running at 144 hertz.
Which is, frankly, overkill for just a spreadsheet, but it is absolutely beautiful.
Okay, but put that into context. My TV is OLED. It looks great. But why does 144 hertz matter on a work machine? Isn't that a gaming thing?
It started there, yeah. But for productivity, it's all about fluidity. 144 hertz means the screen refreshes 144 times a second. Most office monitors are still at 60.
Wow.
So when you're scrolling through the like thousands of lines of code, or you're dragging a window from the top screen to the bottom
Across the hinge.
across the hinge, 144 hertz makes it look like real life. There's no ghosting, no stutter. It keeps that illusion of being a single sheet of glass.
And that fluidity enables these modes the review talks about, right?
Yeah.
Because you don't just use this like a normal clamshell laptop.
No, not at all. The form factor actually shifts. The first one he mentions, and this is huge for developers, is portrait mode.
So you turn it on its side like a book.
Exactly like an open book. So you're looking at two tall vertical screens next to each other.
And if you're a coder,
It's basically nirvana.
why specifically for coding?
Because code is vertical, it just flows down the page. You want to see the function you're writing and the function it calls 30 lines down and the database query 50 lines below that all at once.
Without scrolling.
Without scrolling. It's like having two vertical monitors at your desk,
Yeah.
but you can set it up on a tiny airplane tray table.
That is wild. I can see how that just changes everything. And then there's the other one, waterfall mode. I love that name.
It is evocative. Waterfall mode is the standard setup, you know, top and bottom screens, but it uses that tiny gap to span one window across both.
And the review says this is a killer app for video editing.
Oh, a total game changer.
Yeah.
I mean, think about editing video on a normal laptop. It's a nightmare. Your preview window is the size of a postage stamp.
Your timeline is squished. Your effects are all hidden in menus.
Right. But in waterfall mode, you can have your big preview monitor on the top screen and your entire timeline just flows across the bottom one. It's a dedicated editing suite.
So you're not playing Window Tetris anymore. You're just working.
You are just working. That's the control tower feeling. Visibility equals speed.
Okay, I'm sold on the screens. They sound amazing, but I have to play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
Every time I hear dual screen and heavy duty hinge, my back starts to hurt. I mean, physics is physics, right? Two screens, two sets of glass, all the metal. This thing must weigh a ton.
You would think so. And if this were, say, 2024, you'd be absolutely right. It would be 3 kilos easy, thick as a brick.
You'd need a special bag for it.
Yeah, but this is where the review took a turn into material science that I found, well, genuinely fascinating. They're not using standard aluminum. They're using something called ceraluminum.
Ceraluminum? It sounds like something from Star Trek. Captain, the hull is failing.
It really does. But it's a very real, very clever hybrid material.
Right.
A ceramic and aluminum composite.
So what, like pottery mixed with metal? That sounds brittle.
It's not a mix like that. It uses a process, get this, called plasma electrolytic oxidation.
Whoa, okay, slow down. Plasma electrolytic, what?
Basically, they blast the aluminum with super high voltage, and it creates a ceramic layer right on the surface. So you get the strength of the metal, but the surface properties of ceramic.
Okay, so what does that feel like? Because aluminum is cold and slippery.
This feels like stone.
Yeah.
It's warm, it's tactile, it's grippy, but much more importantly for your back anyway.
Yeah.
It makes the whole chassis 30% lighter than standard aluminum, but 3 times more durable.
Lighter and stronger, you usually have to pick one of those.
I know, that's the holy grail. And because of this material, the whole dual screen monster weighs in at only 1.65 kilograms.
It's 1.65 kilo. Wait, hang on. That's lighter than my current single screen laptop.
It is lighter than a lot of high-end gaming laptops.
Yeah.
And that right there, that's the aha moment. They've managed to decouple power from bulk. You get a desktop-level workspace that you can carry with 2 fingers.
That is impressive. That solves the whole brick-in-the-backpack fear. But okay, let's get under the hood. A pretty screen and a light chassis are useless if it chugs. What's driving this thing?
The engine is the Intel Core Ultra Series 3. Codename, Panther Lake.
Panther Lake. Sounds fast. But the review calls this the AI PC King, and I have to stop you. AI is the buzzword of the century. My toaster says it has AI.
It probably burns your toast intelligently.
Exactly. So let's cut through the fluff. What makes this an AI PC King? What does that actually mean for someone using it?
It comes down to a number. 180.
180 what?
180 TOPS. TOPS stands for tera operations per second. It's how we measure the speed of the neural processing unit, the NPU. The AI brain, basically.
Okay, give me a baseline, because 180 sounds big, but I have no frame of reference.
So back in 2024, the first wave of AI PCs that everyone was so excited about, they had around 40, maybe 50 TOPS.
So this is almost a 4 times increase in 2 years.
Yes. It is a massive, massive leap.
Okay, but again, skeptic's hat on. Why do I care? I use AI in the cloud. My prompts go to a server somewhere and come back. Why do I need 180 TOPS on my actual machine?
2 big reasons, latency and privacy.
Bring those down for me.
Latency is just speed. If you're using AI to, say, summarize a huge PDF, doing it in the cloud means sending data out, waiting, getting it back. With 180 TOPS, you do it locally.
Instantly.
Instantly. On your own chip. It feels like magic because there's zero lag.
And privacy.
That's the big one for the control tower crowd.
Yeah.
The traders, the developers. If you run a local large language model on this thing, which you can easily do, your data never leaves your device.
You're not feeding company secrets into some public AI.
Precisely. Okay. You own the intelligence instead of just renting it. It turns the laptop from a terminal into an actual brain.
Okay, that actually makes a ton of sense. What about graphics, though? Because thin and light usually means integrated graphics, which usually means bad.
There's the old rule.
But yeah. Panther Lake changes that. This has integrated Arc B390 graphics. Integrated. There's that word again. It sounds like a compromise.
You'd think so. But the review makes a very bold comparison here. He says these integrated graphics are performing at the level of a dedicated RTX 4050.
Whoa. The 4050 is a real gaming card. That's a separate chip.
Exactly. We've hit a point where the graphics built into the main processor are powerful enough for 3D modeling, serious video rendering, even some gaming, without needing a separate, hot, power-hungry GPU.
Which is how they kept the weight down. No big graphics card, no big fans for it.
It's a whole efficiency loop. It all feeds back into making it more portable.
It really seems like they've thought of every bottleneck, but there's one we haven't hit yet. And with two super bright 3K OLED screens.
The battery.
I mean, those screens have to just drink power. I'm picturing this thing dying in like 90 minutes.
If this was a few years ago, you'd be right. You'd be permanently tethered to the wall, the person sitting on the floor at the airport.
I've been that person.
We've all been that person. But Asus did something really clever. They basically maxed out the battery to the legal limit.
The legal limit.
Yeah, the FAA limit for what you can carry on a plane is 100 watt hours. Any bigger. And it's considered hazardous material. This laptop has a 99 watt-hour system.
They went right up to the line.
Tipped their toes right over it. And the result, when you combine it with the efficiency of that Panther Lake chip, is pretty startling. The review claims up to 32 hours of single-screen work.
32 hours? I don't work 32 hours in 3 days. That's incredible.
It's a marathon runner. But the more important number for this device is the dual screen time.
Right. Because you're going to use both.
Of course. Even with both screens blazing, playing video, doing real work, you're getting up to 18 hours.
18 hours. That is a full waking day from the moment you get up to the moment you go to bed.
It completely changes your mindset. You know that little background anxiety you have where you walk into a room and your eyes are just scanning the walls for an outlet?
Outlet anxiety. I know it well. It's a modern survival instinct.
This kills that. You can sit in the middle of a park, run two screens, compile code, and not even think about the battery icon. That is true mobile freedom.
It sounds incredible. It really does. But, okay, let's come back down to earth. Because incredible usually has an incredible price tag.
There's always a price tag.
Yeah. The source puts this unit at $2,100.
Which is firmly in the premium category. That's not a casual buy.
No. You can get three decent budget laptops for that. So we have to ask the question, who is this actually for? Who spends over $2,000 on a laptop?
The review is really specific about this, and I think he nails it. This is not for the person who's just checking email and watching Netflix.
Right. If that's you, save your money.
Totally. This is for the professional where screen real estate literally equals speed or money.
Okay, so give me the profiles.
First, traders.
Day traders.
Exactly. If you're trading, you need charts on one screen, news feeds on another, your order window on a third. Toggling tabs costs seconds, and seconds can cost thousands of dollars.
For them, $2,100 is an insurance policy.
It is. Second, developers. We talked about that portrait mode. Being able to see the entire architecture of your code without scrolling saves so much mental energy, keeps you in the flow. If this saves a senior dev an hour a week, it pays for itself in a month.
And the third one has to be creators, right?
Definitely. The color accuracy on these OLEDs is professional grade. And just being able to separate your tools, your timelines, your brushes from your actual canvas. Mm-hmm. That's how people work in a studio. This lets them take the studio on the road.
So what was the final verdict from Majid's review?
He calls it an absolute must-have for that specific group of people. He says it represents the future of mobile computing. Mm-hmm. And honestly, when you look at all the pieces, the seamless screens, the Sarah Aluminum Wade, the AI power, it's really hard to argue with them.
It really feels like a tipping point, doesn't it? For the last, 20 years, the laptop was always the sidekick.
The desktop was home base. The laptop was for the road trip.
Exactly. You did your real work at your desk. But let's just recap what we've unpacked here. A hinge that makes two screens feel like one. A material that makes it lighter than a single screen machine. Local AI power that rivals a server. And battery life that outlasts a human being.
It checks every single box that we use to reserve for a desktop.
So here's the thought I want to leave everyone with. The source implies it, but let's just say it out loud. If this is the control tower, if you can carry this level of power and ergonomics in a 1.65 kilo package, have we finally reached the death of the desktop computer?
That's the billion-dollar question, isn't it?
I mean, seriously, look around most offices. You see these huge towers, tangles of cables stuck in one spot. If you can just walk in, open this thing, and have the exact same capability, why do you need that anchor anymore?
You might not. When the compromise is finally gone, the stationary computer stops looking like a necessity and starts looking a lot more like furniture old furniture.
Something to think about next time you're debating whether to upgrade that tower or just get a new laptop. You might not have to choose anymore.
The choice might have already been made for you.
That's all for today's deep dive into the Asus ZenBook Duo 2026. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.